Hello, everyone, and welcome to another in ISHN series, Dave Johnson's Wide World of Safety. I'm Dave Johnson, your host and ISHN editor at large, which is a fancy title after spending 40 years as the magazine's chief editor. Today, I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Rich Fairfax to our podcast. Rich has seen it all at OSHA. He joined the agency in 1977. From 77 to 1994, Rich worked in OSHA field offices as a compliance officer. In 1994, he moved to Washington, D.C. and worked as the senior industrial hygienist for the Office of Health Enforcement in OSHA's national office. Rich is a certified industrial hygienist. In 1998, he became director of OSHA's enforcement programs. In 2010, Rich was designated Deputy Assistant Secretary, which means he oversaw all field enforcement and training operations for OSHA. He retired from OSHA in 2013. Rich now works part-time as a consultant for ORC HSE, which was recently acquired by the National Safety Council. Maybe you saw the news of that in about the last month or so, a couple of months. In this role, Rich supports ORC HSC members, providing expert advice on OSHA issues, of course, conducting surveys on topics of member concern, leading efforts to comment on OSHA policy and regulatory issues, speaking, as on today's podcast, and visiting ORC HSC member sites. Rich, thanks for joining us today.
Sure, my pleasure. And one thing I just want to correct real quick.
Sure.
I was certified for close to 40 years, but I retired my certification a couple of years ago. So technically,
okay.
I'm not a CIH anymore.
Okay. I know that technicality means something in the CIH world.
It does.
So I appreciate you clarifying that. First question for you, Rich. You have written, and you and I have talked about the need for OSHA after 50 years, going back to its birth in 1970, or late 69, to change its approach to ensuring workplace safety and health protection. If you would describe what you would like to see happen, Rich, with OSHA.
Okay, that's a fair question. The way OSHA does business was actually developed when OSHA first started back in 1971, 72, and 73. So, you know, they have this model of, you know, selecting companies and for inspections. And, you know, sometimes it's based on the industry, sometimes it's based on, you know, the injury rate. But my concern is that model hasn't changed at all, you know, in 50 years. You know, so OSHA is still pretty much doing business as they have done for 50 years. And when you look at the industry makeup today is one heck of a lot different than it was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we had foundries and steel mills and pulp and paper companies and lumber companies, and we had shoe shops, and we just had a variety of industries. And most of those, you know, are gone now. The workforce was heavily unionized back then. As an example, we've got the COVID issue going on right now. In the 70s and 80s, it was a rare event for OSHA to do an inspection of a healthcare facility. That, with bloodborne pathogens and now COVID and stuff, is fairly frequent. So, you know, everything has kind of changed, but OSHA is still following the model it set up back in the early 1970s. I've written before about three categories of employers. You know, you've got the best of the best, which is your sharp employers or your VPP. You've got the worst of the worst, which are the recalcitrant employers. And then you've got a large group in the middle, which are, I kind of classify as employers that, you know, they just don't know, or they don't have the resources to do what they need to do in safety and health. So Under the model that OSHA currently operates, except if you're in VPP or SHARP, all the employers, regardless of whether you're a bad employer or you just need help, are all thrown in the same bucket. And I think the new model, you know, needs to be an enforcement focus on the bad actors and then a compliance assistance cooperative approach to all those employers in the middle, with, you know, the enforcement arm there if it's needed. But, you know, with OSHA having, I guess, less than 800 inspectors now and add another 1,000 for the state plan states, the model has to change to keep improving on health and safety. So,
okay. Rich, you're not the only one who has these thoughts that after 50 years, it's time for OSHA to go in a new direction, try out new strategies. Dr. David Michaels and Jordan Barrett wrote an article in the American Public Health Association Journal along similar lines. Who else is thinking the way you're thinking when it comes to the need for OSHA to change?
Well, there was
a great network of
there's a lot of groups and people. That American Journal of Public Health article you mentioned, the whole article, the whole magazine journal was actually dedicated to, you know, the last 50 years of OSHA and what should change. And I would recommend reading, you know, if people are interested, because there's a variety of authors. You've got, you know, John Howard from NIOSH, you've got, you know, David Michaels and Jordan Barham, you've got Peg Seminario, you've got a lot of people that, you know, have had a vested interest in health and safety, talking about different things and approaches. Certainly, ORC is championing for change, and they're looking, you know, as a, you know, as a professional group of moving OSHA in a new direction. You know, I'm not going to name names, but I've talked with health and safety professionals, gosh, over the last year or more, and, you know, talking about different ways OSHA can change and improve. So there's a lot of interest out there. I just don't know if there's interest within the agency.
Well, that you lead right into my next question. Rich, thank you very much. As I mentioned in your bio, you've stayed close to OSHA issues, of course, since retiring. You provide expert advice to ORC HSC clients on a wide range of agency actions and policies. And we're now, as you alluded to, in one of those, you know, periodic, every 4 year or so, maybe every 8 year, pivot points for OSHA, where there's a changing of the guard. And after 4 years of a rather passive OSHA in the previous administration, what should listeners, EHS professionals, in your opinion, expect from federal OSHA in the next 4 years? Like you said, it's kind of an open question, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll break the question into two parts, Rich. What do you expect to see from the new OSHA short term this year in 2021? And then the second part of the question would be, what do you expect to see perhaps longer term over the next 4 years while this administration's in the White House?
Good question, Dave. I also break it down a little further in thinking about it into what do I think will happen and what would I like to see. I'm to be real frank, I'm real worried that it's just going to continue on as business as usual. I hope not. And what I found very telling is, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, President Biden came out with his executive order talking about, you know, updated guidance and, you know, looking at or evaluating the need for an emergency temporary standard. So OSHA got right to it and they revised the guidance. And I've read it, and there's an implied threat, which, you know, in there that if they don't do it, they could get a citation and all that. But what troubled me was, Jim Fredericks, you know, the head of the agency, he's the
Correct.
Political deputy assistant secretary. And yet the one making the announcement was from the transition team that's been assigned to OSHA. I just personally thought that was a bad message. And I've heard from a lot of people in OSHA that were very troubled that, you know, a person on the transition team was making an announcement about a major policy point for OSHA.
Rich, well, why did that happen? What, you know, politics in Washington, why would somebody who is only going to be there for 100 days, I understand, as a transition figure, make that kind of policy statement as opposed to Jim Frederick, who could be there for the next 4 years?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I don't know. I was stumped when I saw that, and I didn't, you know, understand it unless they just, you know, unless they're just looking at OSHA still in a transition right now and needing, you know, somebody that's tied directly in with the administration to be making that announcement. But other than that, I don't know. I was just, like I said, I was surprised. Personally, I thought, you know, and I was looking for Jim Frederick to be making those announcements, but it didn't. But, you know, going back to your question and breaking it down, you know, everything I've seen is that, you know, OSHA is pretty frustrated and pretty demoralized. And there are a lot of vacancies within the agencies and a lot of vacancies with senior positions. So during the next year or two, if it were me and I was there, I'd really be focusing on career development, filling the vacancies up, you know, getting the agency back up and running, doing whatever I could to increase the staffing of compliance officers, you know, basically going about rebuilding the agency. And I would start with filling the vacancies because that sends a real direct message to all of the people internal within OSHA that this administration wants to, you know, build the agency back up and move forward. You know, we talked about the next 50 years. I think, you know, over the next 4 years, OSHA really needs to look at how they do business. You know, but the other point I want to talk about and raise that needs to be done also over the 4 years is, and you and I've talked about this, is, you know, making OSHA the leader again in health and safety.
Yeah.
It used to be that everyone looked to OSHA to determine, you know, what they needed to focus on, what they needed to look at to drive them, what direction OSHA was going. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right. And
I think that needs to be rebuilt back up within the agency. And just leave it at that.
What's one example of how OSHA could take that leadership position again? What's one example that could be done by senior leaders at OSHA to kind of show that leadership?
Well, I think moving away from, you know, the standard business as usual is important. I think OSHA could take the leadership, you know, working on what, you know, there's a general category they call the new view, which I find very interesting. It's focusing on, you know, human and organizational performance. It's focusing on risk through, you know, reducing, you know, fatalities and serious injuries or serious health effects. I think a major focus on that would be, you know, and providing guidance and OSHA taking that position on HOP or on FSI, driving employers to implement and develop safety and health management systems, you know, not just a safety program, but an entire management systems. I think OSHA's guidelines from 1989 are good. I think David Michaels, his I2P2 was, and the guidance OSHA put out from there was very good. There's also, you know, ISO 45001, there's ANSI Z10, and there's a lot of things, but, you know, I think if OSHA took the lead and started driving towards human and organizational performance, reduction in fatality and serious injury, pushing safety and health management systems I think OSHA could recapture the lead or the role as a leader in safety and health for this country.
Good examples. Next question for you, Rich. The next OSHA chief, as you know, expected to be a safety and health, this is what I've read, this is what has been written quite a bit in the last month or so. Next OSHA chief is expected to be a safety and health professional with close ties to organized labor. And you mentioned Jim Frederick. Jim, who I've known really for a number of years, and you've certainly known for a long time, as you mentioned, is the recently appointed interim head of OSHA, you could say. And Jim was with United Steelworkers for about 25 years, I counted up, rising to assistant director of environmental health and safety. My question is Jim or someone else appointed as OSHA chief with an organized labor background like this receptive to the kind of changes you've described in the last couple of minutes? Tell us what you know about Jim. You, like I said, you've known him for quite a long time. You've worked with him for years. Tell our listeners, how would you describe Jim and how he might approach this job?
Well, first, just to be real clear, I consider Jim a friend. And, okay.
Full disclosure.
Yeah. And
full disclosure.
Yes. And I've known him a while. I worked with him at ORC. ORC just finished up a very successful online conference on human and organizational performance, or HOP. And just to give you a little idea, you know, there were two leads on it for ORC, and Jim had one of them.
Right.
So that was, you know, that should tell everyone his, you know, his leanings and his thoughts. I know being part of the steel workers were focused very much on risk and serious, you know, injuries and fatalities. They focused on that. ORC worked with them on that. So Jim comes to OSHA with that background and acceptance. And, you know, he and I have talked over the years on, you know, changes in OSHA and what needs to be done. So, I mean, you asked the question of would he be receptive? Yeah, I think he's very, very receptive to doing. I think he knows the need. You know, he has expressed the interest in bringing on more compliance officers, filling the vacancies, and improving the morale internally within OSHA. You know, I have to be real frank. I think if he becomes the assistant secretary, there's a really good chance that will start moving the agency in what I think is the right direction. You know, otherwise, if they bring someone else in, they may end up being, as much as Jim wants to move the agency forward, it may be business as usual. And, you know, that's my biggest worry about OSHA is after 50 years, you know, the agency needs to reassess and change and not just continue on the same model that they have for all this time.
Yeah, I would think, knowing Jim myself and having interviewed him several times, he's not, I would say, business as usual when it comes to a organized labor safety and health specialist. In my interviews with Jim, and I've interviewed a lot of people from organized labor on the safety side, Jim seems to me pretty open-minded. I think maybe more of a moderate than certainly some of the organized labor safety people I've talked to over the years. And he does seem to be quite interested, as you talked about, in the new view of safety, the risk-centric view of safety, in taking a collaborative approach. In one interview with me, he mentioned the need to really reach out to different stakeholders and get a diverse array of input. Does that kind of align with the Jim Frederick you know?
Yeah, it does, Dave. I mean, Jim's very, very smart, but he's also very thoughtful, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he and I have talked a lot, and I found, us to be in an agreement with a lot of issues. And you just, I wanted to tag on to what you say. You just mentioned, Jim had mentioned bringing in other stakeholders. I think for the success of OSHA in laying out a plan, I think it's critical to bring in the other stakeholders. I mean, when I was there, I really wasn't allowed to have meetings per se, but I certainly talked to everybody. Mm-hmm. And, I think having some, whether it's through an advisory committee or, a town hall meeting, but, bring in, Mark Friedman from the chamber, bring in the representative from NAM, bring in, representatives from the different unions, bring in, people from the AIHA, the safety profession, the National Safety Council, just mm-hmm. bring in these groups and get input. And I think that's just really important.
Okay. Last question for you, Rich. Again, you've worked with OSHA. You worked at OSHA for almost 40 years. You know the agency inside and out. You served under how many OSHA chiefs? By my count, Rich, 9 permanent heads, not including the acting administrators. So here's my question. It's about lessons learned, do's and don'ts. Just maybe one example in each case. What would you advise the new OSHA leadership to do? And what should leadership, what would be an example of what leadership should stay away from, not do?
Okay, that's an interesting question. All right. One of the problems when an assistant secretary comes in, and it's not limited to Democrats or Republican administrations, it happens across the board, is they come in and they've got their own agenda.
Right.
And they have all these things they want to do. And I don't blame them for that. I don't fault them, but I know as a career person with OSHA, myself and lots of other senior career people with OSHA, when the new assistant secretary would come in and we would all meet with them, we would all tell them, only pick 2, maybe of 3 items to focus on. Don't come in with this massive agenda, and just pick 2 or 3 items. And to a person, the assistant secretary has always ignored us. And, and they would have, 5 or 6 items. And, I can remember some Democratic administrations, we used to joke at the beginning of each month is, well, what's the assistant secretary going to be focused on this month? And, but the problem is when you, and it's all administrations do this. So I'm not really singling anyone out, but
right.
they come in and they've got 5, 6, 7 items that they want to focus on. And all of a sudden, you're 3 years, maybe 3.5 years into the administration, and everyone is off trying to meet the goals for the assistant secretary. And the assistant secretary suddenly realizes, my God, I've got less than a year left and I haven't gotten anything really done.
Yeah.
And, so just pick a couple of items out and, don't do what one assistant secretary did, decide they were going to totally reinvent OSHA.
Right.
I know OSHA needs to change and I'm advocating for that, but you don't come in with this reinvention process and just, virtually almost kill the agency. So, I mean, that's kind of the key thing and advice. I mean, certainly OSHA needs to change the way they do business, but if you come in with, a armload of changes or things you want to get done, you'll end up leaving not having gotten anything done, really. So,
well, I think you've answered the second part of my question, then what OSHA should or the leadership should stay away from. From too ambitious of an agenda, too many objectives.
And there's so many things that need to be fixed in OSHA. And that's why I think someone or a group needs to sit down and say, okay, where do we want to be at in 10 years or 15 yeah. years? And, you know, lay out a plan and then, you know, and bring in all the input from the stakeholders and then start, you know, trying to move forward.
Move forward. Well, again, thanks so much for your time today, Rich. I really appreciate it. And sharing your unique, I would call it almost a 360 degree perspective on all things OSHA, past, present, and future. If listeners, if you'd like to learn more about the work of ORCHSC, now at the National Safety Council, I encourage you to visit their website, www.orchse-strategies.com. That's www.orchse-strategies.com. You'll find a very informative website there. And please join me for the next in the series of Dave Johnson's Wide World of Safety podcast. Upcoming guests in our twice monthly podcast series feature an expert in an innovative approach to hazard recognition and risk assessment, and an expert in leveraging safety capital, human assets in the C-suite. It's all about keeping you informed and adding value to your work and your career. Thanks for joining us today.